Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabeck, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So we've entered onto the 31st week in Ordinary Time. Again, 3 weeks, well, 4 weeks, including this one, that are left to our liturgical year. We will take it to the end, basically, of November, and then Advent will kind of begin. Advent begins at the end of November, but then we move into it fully come December. But while... whereas this is the 31st week in Ordinary Time that we've embarked onto, we did not celebrate the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Rather, it has been preempted or was preempted by the commemoration of All the Faithful Departed, All Souls Day, on November the 2nd. So a strange thing to do, what people might say, and there are some already all over the, you know, multiverse of social media and the internet who decry this terrible aberration, this terrible distraction from the course of Sundays and Sunday being more important, and how dare the Roman calendar of the Reformed Rite, we say, of the Novus Ordo of Paul VI, basically placed All Souls on a Sunday that could preempt, you know, a Sunday of the Lord. Well, every day belongs to the Lord, so we really don't need to worry about Jesus being shortchanged about anything like that. And again, people will squawk and squabble about all kinds of things. If you get into the wrong algorithms of social media or any kind of social media site or whatever it is, you might find yourself hearing a whole bunch of kind of very interesting things and wondering why people have so much time to comment like they do. So anyway, yes, it is okay to preempt a Sunday, especially with the commemoration of the faithful departed. All of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us with the mark of faith, because it demonstrates again God's power over life and death, that God is the one who is in charge of everything. And we need to understand that, especially when it comes to death, because we sometimes forget that when we begin to think that death is the ultimate separation, nothing can conquer it, and all there is sadness, pain, and mourning in the light of it, which, again, there is, and there is grief that happens when death occurs, any kind of death, whether it be physical, emotional, you know, social, relational, whatever it is, anything that dies can cause grief, can cause remorse, can cause mourning. But is that where we are meant to remain? And what this day basically shows us and tells us again and again is that we are not to remain in death, because we are not made for death. We are made for life, and life that never ends, life that continues. Somehow, some way, God makes it happen, and we must have confidence and trust always that a God who creates life is not a God who can be undone by death, which seems to take away that life, but which it truly doesn't in the end. And so this very important day. Now, this Day of All Souls has a variety of readings that can be attached to it, so there is no standard set of readings, first, second, and gospel. So you can, many presiders, many liturgical organizers or whatever, can choose from a variety of readings. And so, you know, it's important that we don't focus just on any of them, but that the whole treasury of what we're supposed to have confidence in God's victory, Christ's victory over sin and darkness and death, always prevails. And these readings that are chosen for this day within the Reformed calendar basically speak to that, because ours is a God of joy. Ours is a God who moves us beyond, you know, dead ends, who moves us beyond basically the limitations that we in our physicality and even our own understanding of human beings puts up before us, that we are more than death. We are more than sin. We are more than darkness always, because we are created in that image and likeness of God, which is light and life itself. And so just kind of a background then, it's more of an idea for this kind of meditation, this reflection for this upcoming week about what this All Souls Day truly means for us. And like I said, you know, last week, again, we laugh at all those things about darkness and scariness and spookiness because we know that God is more powerful than all of it, which is why we celebrate Halloween, to be able to mock it and to laugh at it and show that it has no power over us. Well, in the same way, again, All Souls existed, you know, many centuries ago as a moment in which to remember, again, the faithful departed. It's a moment to remember all of those who have gone before us in faith. In the Middle Ages, unfortunately, it becomes this time in which we pray for poor souls in purgatory, which, again, while we say that purgatory exists, this is really not just what this day is about. People basically who did not achieve enough in their life and somehow have to kind of continue to work it out after death, you know. And again, we do profess that as a teaching within our church. But again, how long it is and how much God wants a pound of flesh from us because we didn't give it to him during our lifetime here on earth is up to God to decide and not necessarily for us. And so the newer meeting or the better meeting that harkens back even to its original meeting, you know, in history, was, you know, to remember all of those who have died, because we are connected to them always again. And the hope is that they are living in eternal glory, and they have not chosen, you know, to remain in the darkness because they think that the love that meets them after death is just too much for them, which could well be a possibility, that people's lives are sometimes so tormented and saddened and angered that not even experiencing the light and love that awaits us at the moment of death, you know, is enough for them to overcome all of that. And so they must work it through. And God waits for them patiently to have it worked through so that all things, you know, can be as God desires, which is what, again, Paul's letter to the Romans, you know, basically says, which is one of the choice readings, that, you know, God wishes that all be saved. Because if all aren't saved, if all do not come back to God, then God has failed, you know, in some ways, because God is in control of everything, you know, even this free will that God gives us, you know, in the end. If God cannot help us to be able to seek God, then God has failed, and God can't. And so, which is why that hope remains, you know, that all of us will be together once again after we depart from this life into the life that is to come. Again, this day that becomes, you know, All Souls Day, chosen by a Benedictine monk, Odilon of Cluny, back in the early Middle Ages, and he kind of makes this day a day to remember. And again, why? Well, because in the Northern Hemisphere, when it comes to November, we begin to really see that things are dying, you know, or it seems as though they're dying. Everything's going to sleep. Leaves are falling from the trees. The trees are becoming dormant. Seeds are becoming dormant. Everything is getting colder and darker. And of course, it's a perfect time then to remember all of those things that must die, you know, including ourselves. But what happens after we die? There may be a judgment, but again, the judgment is always in our favor because God loves us and God wants us to know that love that God has for us. So it's not about condemnation. It's not about punishment, you know, that awaits us after we die, but it's the furtherance of our life and the furtherance of who and what we are as believers in this world, the furtherance of what it means to be a part more deeply of this creation that God has given to us, which is very good and which has not lost its internal goodness, even though we do acts that are heinous and awful and broken and whatever it is. It shows that God always has the final victory, and God will never, ever help you without that final victory. And so this is who we remember. Remember all of our families and our friends, those who go before us, and the bonds that can never be unbroken, even by death itself, which is why in many cultures, you know, again, that move beyond the sad Northern European culture sometimes, again, celebrate this as a way in which to reconnect the bonds, to reconnect the relationships of those who have continued to be a part of our life, but who have gone before us. So Dia de los Muertos in every kind of Latino-Hispanic culture, you know, celebrate that. Even in Italian cultures and other kinds of Mediterranean cultures, to visit cemeteries, to be, again, one with those who have gone before us in faith so that we might never forget, you know, our connectedness. It is this bond that makes us who and what we are, that continues to bring us life, that continues to bring us hope, that continues to bring us the ability to persevere and to move forward, you know, as witnesses of the gospel, as witnesses of Christ's life in our own life. This week, we celebrate Charles Borromeo on November the 4th, who, a good guy, he tried to put into practice the reforms of the Council of Trent, which he was good, I would say moderately successful in doing and trying to move us away in our church, you know, particularly after the Protestant Reformation, away from all the mistakes that we had made. But even more importantly for us as Franciscans, on the 5th and on the 6th of November, because there really isn't a set date for it, we remember it's the commemoration of all of the departed within our Franciscan tradition, within our Franciscan family, all of those who bear the mark of Francis and of Claire in their lives, and to remember them and our connectedness to them. Again, the sense of connectedness makes us human. The sense of connectedness binds us together so that we might remember that it is Christ's Spirit that makes us who and what we are as images and likenesses of God in this world. Perhaps the most important gospel to be proclaimed, you know, on this Day of All Souls is that of Lazarus's own raising. And not so much that Lazarus is raised from the dead, but is that it is Martha, headstrong, indomitable Martha, who basically says, I need help, and why isn't it being given to me? Who goes to Christ, who goes to Jesus when he comes late, you know, to visit the family after Lazarus has died, 4 days after Lazarus has died. And Martha says to them, why didn't you do anything about this? And Jesus says to her, remember that I am the resurrection and the life. No one dies if they believe in me. And do you believe in me, Martha, in the midst of all of this? And Martha has to. even the midst of her own grief and pain, her disappointment and anger, her rage and her frustration at a God who doesn't seem to act, she has to believe that God can. And in the end, that is what happens. Jesus raises her brother and brings him back to her and to Mary, who basically stays at home, even though she sat at Jesus' feet listening to what he had to say, but obviously, it didn't sink in enough. Martha makes it happen when she says, I will not deny what you can do, God. I will not deny that you care about our relationships and care about us. And so that's what we remember on this day. And think about during this week as we move into it. What are those bonds that make us who and what we are? How strong are those bonds that make us who and what we are? And how do those bonds that make us who and what we are reflect the life of God in our own lives? Continue peace and good to all of you from Franciscan Media. May the Lord always give you his life and his light.